right, welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Green Room Podcast. The first episode of the year where Michigan State is a loss in the loss column. Tony Paul, the Detroit News here, joined by Matt Charbonneau, fresh off the boat from West Lafayette, Indiana. by the way, my least favorite of the Big Ten college towns. I saw some debate about this on Twitter last night, and I'm one of your colleagues from the paper in Lansing seems to like West Lafayette, and I don't understand that at all, but that's a podcast for another day, probably.
Who is it? Who's it in the running with? I mean, it's pretty low.
It's low. It's very low. It's like, I haven't been to Piscataway, but I mean, West Lafayette's pretty down there. I mean, then again, I haven't been there for a football game. I've been there for basketball. So who knows?
Anyway, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Yeah, I didn't think so, but no. Purdue 40, Michigan State 29. Shades a little bit of 1999 written all over it a little bit. I mean, coming off the big win over Michigan. I know you wrote today that it wasn't an emotional letdown. I tend to agree. There was some foreshadowing, no question, to a game like this. The comparisons, obviously, is Michigan, the win over Michigan, and the next week they get blown up by a really good Purdue offense. Happened in 99, happened again yesterday. Michigan State falls to 8-1. Still ranked higher, by the way, than Michigan in the AP poll. Michigan State is 8th. Michigan is 9th. Michigan, of course, beat Indiana 29-7 yesterday. But Purdue, hat tip all you want to their quarterback, threw for 530-some yards, the second most ever thrown against Michigan State. Had just tons to work with and took advantage of it. Purdue, in my mind, did what Michigan didn't do. Michigan State gave them the passing lanes, took away the running again from Purdue, and did it last week against Michigan. I felt like Purdue took what was there. And if Michigan took what was there, I think that maybe there's a different result last week. We've seen this from Michigan State. I agreed with your piece today. I don't believe this was a letdown. I believe that it was foreshadowed by several games this year. And a good offense, a really good offense with a really hot quarterback, took advantage and handed Michigan State a loss.
And this is where I think last week that Jim Harbaugh and his staff got out coached a little bit in this sense. And I'm not, this isn't a bash Michigan thing, whatever, but it's Jeff Brohm even said after the game, I mean, he basically said, look, we ran it a few times just to say you wanted to have some sort of balance or some thought in Michigan State's mind that they might run it. But he said, look, there's things we've done good this year and they haven't, so we were obviously going to play to those strengths. And that's exactly what you just said. They knew they could do the ball. They knew Michigan State had trouble most of the year defending the pass. So why were they not gonna, when they got backed up in the one late in the game where you thought there was still a glimmer of hope, they immediately throw, a deep ball down the sideline and connect on it. How many teams are going to do that? Not many, but they knew at that point what's working. It wasn't going to be running the ball off tackle. And I think Michigan, to some extent, a week ago was a little bit stubborn with that. And you saw an offense with Purdue that wasn't. It did exactly what you just said, took what was there. And, you're right. Michigan State, we've seen this coming for a while. And the corners weren't healthy. I mean, they haven't played great all year, but they were also a little banged up back there. But that's not really an excuse. It's just, you felt like
it's a soft secondary. It is.
I think a little bit of that because they don't want to get beat deep. You saw a little bit of it early in the year, so they're a little bit leery of it. The problem is people are running free underneath left and right, and if you're not tackling well, if you're not in position, then they're going to burn you. The screen game was really effective. I'm not even talking about the crazy, 14 reverse pass, whatever thing that ended up in a screen of all things, and they scored a touchdown on it. But they were hurt on it multiple times. It was, some of it's bad luck. You call a certain play one time and they've called the other play. It's just, as Mel Tucker said at the end of the game, it catches up to you when it catches up to you, right? And this was the night, man.
And it was going to.
Right. And the flip side is the offense was just a little bit out of sync. They weren't terrible.
No.
But there's other weeks.
They shot themselves in the foot. And honestly, if Kenny Walker doesn't fumble for the first time this year, That could end up being a touchdown drive. And the chop block on the drive in the red zone later on. So right there, if those end up two touchdowns, instead they end up 0 points because they had, you know, the backup kicker missed the 40-some yarder. But if those end up with touchdown, Michigan State still wins this game. That's how potent they can be with Kenny Walker and Peyton Thorne.
And we're talking about then about how they found a way to win again.
Right.
And which that's what they've done
about all year.
That's, right. You know. And it, so you had a night when you knew you couldn't have an offensive possession that didn't produce something. And in the third quarter, when it really turned, they had back-to-back three and outs, and that was it. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, they were playing catch up from there, and you almost knew you weren't going to get a stop. And those two drives hurt you. And it's so you don't want to like dump on the offense and say you didn't do enough, but because the defense simply could not get off the field. But when you had those two drives, that kind of did you in at that point. I mean, they had a shot late, but again, they need one stop, and Purdue marched down the field. So, you know, it all goes into it. And you mentioned the special, you know, the kicker. They had a few injuries. And they've been living a little bit of charmed life on that till this point. And we always wondered about their depth, and that certainly didn't help them in this game. So a lot of things kind of came together in this one for it to go the wrong way. I really, really don't think it's the whole – we just thought we'd show up and win thing. I did not get that sense at all.
No, you don't get that sense from Mel Tucker, and they didn't just lay down. By the way, they didn't play. They played they got beat pretty soundly, although they had a chance to win. I mean, they didn't just lay down. They haven't laid down all year. I mean, again, if they don't turn the ball over early on Walker's fumble, and if they don't have the chop block in the red zone, they might win the game. I mean, who knows?
Yeah. And Purdue's not,
you know, and by the way, and there was the possible shared possession ball that ended up being an interception that they didn't look at. There were things that could have gone. I'm not saying that Michigan State fans should blame the refs because that's absurd. And, but there are always points in the game where, things could go. And so they had a chance to win the game still. And that's what they've been all year. They played with fire with Nebraska and Michigan and Miami until they had that late surge in a lot of games this year, but they found a way to get it done. Just didn't quite have enough. A couple of things went against them and the defense just got, it broke. I mean, like that whole bend don't break. We've heard it too much. Well, it broke. We bend a rubber band enough. It's going to snap. And that's what happened with Michigan State's defense yesterday. I'm of the opinion, Michigan State fans would love to be 9-0 against 8-1. This doesn't change anything. I mean, you run the table. But I don't think any of us were sitting here saying this team's going to go 12-0. I mean, we saw that this isn't a perfect football team. They're 8-1 now. Bounce back against Maryland and see what happens the final 2 weeks. I don't think it changes a whole lot in the grand scheme of things.
It doesn't. In fact, if you were going to lose a game, this is a game you could afford to lose if your goal is to get to the Big 10 championship and win that, because you can still do that if you win out, right? If you were 11-1 and your loss was against Ohio State, well, you can't do that then. Right. And the other thing too, as you mentioned, this roster is so much better than it was even a year ago, but it's far from complete. I mean, we get wrapped up in all of us, I do too, Kenneth Walker, and some of the other guys that have shown up, and the way Jaden Reed has played this year, and just all these things. But you also look back, that whole secondary, all the cornerbacks are essentially new. It's going to take time for this whole roster to really get at an elite level, especially with the depth. You know, that offense was really different without Jalen Naylor out there. It just was. Right. How much Jarrett Horst at left tackle hurt? I'm sure a little. But still, the offensive line wasn't awful. I mean, you know, Thorne was pressured a little, and I think that kind of bugged him early. But Kenneth Walker certainly found a couple spots,
but he didn't find the holes that he had been finding. There was definitely more clutter there in the middle.
But it wasn't like the Indiana game where you felt like there was nowhere to run.
No.
And
he busted a couple, and there was a couple holes late that, you know, he certainly had another good game. And by the way, he's now up to number 2 in the Heisman favorite, according to BetMGM, which he was number 3 last week and number 4 the week before that. So clearly he's continuing to build his stock. But, no, there's work to do on the roster. I think everyone knew that. I mean, they got a lot of transfers. They got a lot of new guys, and it's been a quick rebuild. But I don't think that anyone thought this was the finished product. I mean, I sat here a couple weeks ago. Even last week, I said that I think Michigan and Michigan State are both going to go 10-2 after last week's game. I still think that's very, very possible. I think that would be great. You know, that would be fine. I don't think anyone was sitting here going, this team's going to the college football playoff game.
Yeah.
And yes, they were ranked 3rd because they were undefeated and they're from the Big Ten. And, you know, it is what it is. But this was always going to be a game against a quarterback who, by the way, is either hit or miss. And if he was missed, the right. Michigan State wins this game easy.
Right.
But he had a game like he had against Iowa. And by the way, this is the 17th time that Purdue, as an unranked team, has beaten a top five team, the most in college football history, by six. Michigan State, by the way, has 10 of those wins. Yeah. But this is a Purdue team that just – they beat Iowa, and that should have opened some eyes. Iowa's a fine team.
That's the thing that cracks me up is people see – they hear Purdue, and they just think, wow, it's Purdue. Well, you're clearly not paying attention.
No.
I mean, this is not a bad football team. They're a good football team. And in fact, in the ridiculous West, they're in like a 14-way tie for first now. But,
yeah,
I mean, they're a good, solid team. Yeah, they're not great. They don't run the ball well. You know, their defense is okay, but it's a team that can put up some points and can beat you. Just ask Iowa. I mean, they've already done it this year. So it's not like it was, you didn't go lose to, you know, Northwestern, something like that. One of these terrible teams.
Lost a decent team against a quarterback, you know, who just, Aiden O'Connell found a way and just picked it apart. And especially on third down was obviously the huge play or huge in the game. 11 for 18. Was it 11 for 18 on
11 for 18. It was 10 for 13. It was 10 for 13 at one point where you're just like there. It doesn't matter if it's third and one or third and 21.
Right.
You just are like, well, they're going to pick it up.
No, that was huge. And third down conversions are backbreakers. I mean, your defense is feeling it. Your offense is feeling it. And then the wind gets sucked out of you. Purdue 11 for 18 on those conversions. And Xavier Henderson, you caught up with him after the game. And here's what he had to say about the third down issues for Michigan State.
Story of the season, isn't it? We just got to be better with our technique, I think is what it is. You know, maybe that's something we could work on a little bit more in practice. We've got the defense together, like some extra time in the afternoon and watch third down, but we still weren't able to get off. So it's got to be fixed.
Yeah, he's right. He said it's the story of the season, and it has been. But again, they've been able to overcome that. And yesterday, you know, and look, you had the ball by Reed that was dropped, you know, that was right on the money. I mean, there were instances. This was not a Michigan State team that went in there. I remember when Michigan State went in, I was my first year at Michigan State was 1999. They beat Michigan. Then they go to Purdue and they get the doors blown off them by Drew Brees. And then the next week they go to Wisconsin and they get the doors blown off them by Ron Dayne. This wasn't that. This was a team that had a few things that they just didn't execute on. They had a rare fumble by a Heisman Trophy candidate. They had a bad penalty that they shouldn't have taken in the red zone. They had a couple balls missed, and they still could have won the game. You know, this wasn't a team that just rolled over. It was a team that just got beat by a team that played better yesterday.
More than just that one penalty. There were three penalties on top of that were really critical. I wrote about that after the game. There was the punt. Most people didn't pay attention to the punt. Early in the first half, where Bryce Behringer, I mean, just unloaded one. It was down to the two.
Oh, that was huge.
Well, Justin White was moving to the line on the kick, so they got to come back and kick it again. It's a shorter kick, and Purdue returns to the 49. That's a 47-yard penalty. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Purdue scores on that drive because you're at midfield. No kidding. Of course they're going to score. And then, of course, the back-to-back 15-yarders. After Michigan State had tied the game at 21 early in that third quarter, the Chester Kimbrough call I thought was awful. And the targeting thing, look, here's the thing on targeting.
No, if you look at it. Can I just say something really quick on the Kimbrough one? I don't understand how you can say that it was a late hit if they're not blowing the whistle for forward progress.
And he's not out of bounds. It's like,
The targeting call, look, it was close, and I don't get it, you know, but it was a violent hit.
It was. And look, football has violent hits. You're right, the Kimbrough one. Here's the if Kimbrough stops, then he's here, you know, his coaches are losing their mind.
Right.
So he's in a terrible spot. It's a bad call. What I'm learning about this targeting call is that I'd say 95% of them are just bad luck.
Yeah.
Because Simeon Barrow did nothing to, you know, there's no way he was intentionally doing any of that. And it was just bad luck of where the runner, the quarterback at that time, happened to come down. And the crown of his helmet hit the guy's face.
Right.
He didn't. He never really lowered his head. He's just playing.
No.
And this is where the guy ends up, you know. So when you see the video, you know, the replay, and you see, well, the guy's face gets smashed back by his helmet.
Right. Yeah.
It's hard to overturn it. Sure. But then you're looking and saying, well, none of that was done intentionally. None of it was. So you're like,
That's where I go back to the whole ejection thing, because the ejection angle of targeting gives the false narrative that this is an intentional dirty hit, and nine times out of 10, it's not. And I get by the letter of the law, yeah, that's targeting. Did he do it intentionally? Should he be ejected from the game? No, he shouldn't. You know, I just that's my problem with targeting. It gives this false narrative that every targeting hit is somehow this intentional gross misconduct on the field. And I just don't believe that's the case. I don't necessarily convinced that either one of those cost him the game. Again, I think they got beat by a better team yesterday.
It doesn't cost them the game. You're right. It doesn't cost them the game. And my point in bringing it up wasn't say, oh, see, the refs did this. But it's like you just tied the game. You had the turnover, tied the game. You feel like, okay, we've got this thing back to even. And then you're roughly at midfield and you get the two penalties in a row. And now it's at the 25 or whatever the heck it's at, 20. And, of course, they score a touchdown. So it just felt like.
Oh, it was big. Big at the time.
Yeah, when you're doing things right. You evened it up, and now you're right back to where you started.
Momentum is so big in football. I think that's such a passionate, emotional sport. And you saw it with Michigan State. I mean, when Michigan State got within 8 last week, you just had a feeling they were going to win the game. They tie the game quickly yesterday, and you're like, okay. And then all of a sudden, the air is sucked out by some mistakes, and it goes the other way, and all of a sudden, you're stalled a little bit.
It definitely had a different feel. You're right. It had a different feel all day.
Yeah. You know, honestly, it just had a different feel, kind of a little pit in my stomach. Not saying I'm rooting, but I just felt like there was a little pit in my stomach when I saw the left-footed kicker come out. I don't know why. I don't know why, but it was a surprise and it was a miss. And it was just like, I was at that point, I'm like, oh crap. Like this just doesn't feel right. You know, because Coughlin has been there for 20 years. He's working on his 8th master's degree, and he's so steady. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh wow. And then the kid misses it, and it was kind of rushed. Wasn't his fault, I don't think.
Speaking of all the injuries, by the way, he also had a cast on his right hand.
He did. He comes out there.
Not that it mattered, but it was what the hell happened in practice this week?
Well, speaking of injuries, do we know anything about Coughlin and do we know anything about
Baylor? This is the thing. Mel Tucker, very, very insightful stuff on injuries. Coughlin, of course, is sore and will be ready when he's ready. Jarrett Horst will be – oh, that's right. He'll be ready when he's ready. And last week, Jalen Naylor, I believe, was going to be ready when he's ready. Now, Naylor, I think the goal was to have him back by Ohio State. I don't know if that changes at this point. Obviously, it's his finger or fingers on that hand, so – if he plays any other position, he could probably play. But, of course, he's a receiver. So, it's a little thin right now. They've got a few other guys banged up in that secondary. Brantley got hurt. Williams is hurt. Lowry's hurt. But, is what it is at this point. Part of the game.
And someone made a good point yesterday. And this is going to be a dicey issue that's going to have to be figured out. But Michigan State was a 2.5-point favorite. And there again, Michigan State was the most heavily bet on team across the country. This is the second week in a row. So all the money Vegas lost last week by Michigan State winning, they got back basically. but some people point out that without these accurate injury reports, betting is a problem. That's why the NFL and all these leagues regulate what you have to share. And I wonder if we're going to get to the point where college coaches are going to have to be a little bit more upfront with what I know that there's college HIPAA rules, but availability wise,
there's been talk about that over the last few years. And
I mean, it's a big deal when there's millions of dollars at stake. I mean, it's regulated in the pros, and you got to believe it's coming. Some coaches legalized all over the place.
Some of the coaches who've been in the NFL, I know Harbaugh was asked about it a couple of years ago. Like the NFL experienced guys don't seem to have an issue with it. They're like, whatever. These other guys have been around college forever. They don't think you should, even know if they tied their shoes or not because they're paranoid about it. So we'll see. But that has been discussed. I don't know. Now that betting is becoming obviously more prevalent.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
The first time some league signed some deal with whoever, DraftKings or whatever,
that's going to be the key. And you're seeing colleges – yeah, I think they're going to try to keep the distance as long as they can. Obviously, all these NIL deals, it's all regulated that they can't touch the gambling stuff. And so the actual money from the draft sites or the gambling sites hasn't flooded into programs as far as advertising and all that. But when we see that, you better believe that they're gonna have to change some stuff, because someone that's betting Michigan State by 2.5, knowing Coughlin is not available, might go the other way. I mean, that's a big deal. So anyway, that's a topic for another day. But Purdue 40, Michigan State 29, Michigan State with Maryland. Maryland's going to throw the ball about 80 times coming up, so you might want to figure out something this week.
Think about it. The last three teams they play, they're all going to – I mean, they've all got pretty decent passing games. Obviously, Ohio State does. I mean, you know, Clifford threw for like 380 this week at Penn State too, and Tagovailoa I think was over. Might have been. He was 3-something. He has a tendency to throw more interceptions, but yeah, every one of these teams is going to have a decent passing game, and it's going to be the same thing for the next 3 weeks. So,
right, I got a kick out of Xavier Henderson going, oh yeah, we might need to practice that more.
I know.
Really?
It's
week 9. I mean, maybe, you know, a lot of times these college kids, they don't get their words out quite perfectly. And I think probably didn't.
Here's the other thing too, with all this defense stuff, I'm starting to see some people getting worked up with Scotty Hazleton, the defensive coordinator, and a few fire Hazletons. You know get a freaking grip. This is year 1.5 of this thing. If you think this is anywhere near like what it's going to be, I'm not saying they become the greatest defense, but you can't judge a guy at this point who they're still building this roster. Just remember, everyone thinks Pat Narduzzi is like the defensive guru of all gurus. The first 3-4 years here, people wanted him fired too. You know, it takes some time. Look, give it some time. We're not firing anybody.
You have the personnel that you have to work with. And Michigan State clearly is picking their battles on defense based on their personnel. Yes. Do they give up 400, 500 yards a game? Sure do. Is that in the hundreds in the FBS rankings? It sure is. Before yesterday, they were averaging giving up 20 points a game, which was about 25th, 26th in FBS. Right. So clearly they were picking their spots and they were maximizing the personnel that they had to work with. And it bit them yesterday. By the way, if the offense doesn't have a couple of blunders, they might end up winning the game. And everyone's sitting here going, oh, wow, maybe they will go 12-0, even though they were never going to go 12-0. I mean, I don't believe anybody in their right mind would believe that. But anyway, 40 Purdue, Michigan State 29. Only 4 unbeatens left, by the way, after Wake Forest also lost yesterday to UNC in another high-scoring game. So 4 unbeaten.
Kenneth Walker effect.
Yeah. Georgia, Cincinnati, Oklahoma, and UTSA. Are the four, you know, the good news for Cincinnati with Michigan State losing, then I don't think Cincinnati will move down in this week's college football playoff rankings. So that's good.
Yeah. Well,
we'll see. Poor Cincinnati. I mean, come on. Can we honestly just get to the 18 playoff? I mean,
yeah, because this is silly.
I mean, Cincinnati will win out probably and will not be in the playoff again.
Probably not.
I mean, this is just absurd. We need to fix it. They've been talking about it. They met this week. The powers that be did not come to a resolution, although probably hinting at, we're going to get there eventually, probably by 2023, 2024. But poor Cincinnati. Hey, they got game day. So they got that going for them this week.
Did you like Luke Fickell wondering if Gary Bard has even played football? And then the dude's won like 3 national titles. Yeah, I think he's played football. And by the way, is there a worse job in the world than being the committee chair for like this committee or the basketball committee? Because no matter what you do, you're a jerk to somebody.
No matter what you do, you're a jerk. But you just can't take Cincinnati, who, by the way, beat Notre Dame, who, by the way, you consider highly enough of them to put them in the top 10 of your rankings. And then you don't put Cincinnati in the top 4 or 5. It's disgraceful. I mean, especially when you got a team. I mean, and not that the bottom, the 20s matter in the playoff, but when you have Minnesota ranked 20th, I don't care what they did yesterday against Illinois, where they totally laid an egg. Well, Minnesota sucks. Okay. We know Minnesota sucks. No, it's just like I
they're tied for first. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Now they are. Yeah. I'd like to. Yeah. Well, that's true. But I hope Cincinnati, by the grace. I mean, I was pulling for Alabama to, for LSU to pull that off yesterday. They had 3 cracks at it, and didn't get it done against Alabama. Just because I just want anything to happen that'll give Cincinnati a fair shake at this thing. But anyway, we'll see what happens. More playoff rankings coming out Tuesday. I don't think they matter much in this neck of the woods.
Unless here's
Michigan
the deal:
State goes undefeated. I mean,
they do matter. They're going to matter to some extent now. if Michigan or Michigan State, either team runs the table, and including a Big Ten championship game, I mean,
right,
they'll have a pretty damn good case to make that four-team field.
Right.
The other thing is,
I just don't believe that.
No, I don't think it's going to either. What is probably going to matter more to fans around here for both of these teams is where that final ranking is, in terms of being in the top 12 and getting a New Year's Six game. That's going to matter. You got to get in that top 12 for that. They're probably both going to hover around the same spot. And I know Michigan State fans are already panicking that they're going to get ranked below Michigan just because that's how it happens. Just let it play out, folks. But that's – so there is going to be some interest to at least pay attention the next 3 weeks to see where that all shakes out in terms of, you know, your bowl slotting and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, it's not like last week when we were, hey, where are you? But it's still worth paying attention to a little bit here.
Right. Well, those come out Tuesday. So Michigan State with Maryland at 4 o'clock, and then Ohio State and Penn State to finish the season. Michigan with Penn State at noon, and then Maryland and Ohio State of their own to finish the season.
4 o'clock.
I know you're just miserable about it. I know. Third world problems for sure. Yeah, but anyway, so we're getting close to being the end here. So we'll see how this shakes out. But look, again, they weren't going to go 12-0, and they were due for this. It was going to catch up to them. You know, I mean, if you play with fire, you will get burned eventually, and this is exactly what happened. It wasn't a letdown. I agree with you 100%. This wasn't a Michigan State of old. They were in this game when they shouldn't have been. I mean, their defense just got annihilated yesterday. Yep. And Michigan State still had a chance to somehow pluck this thing off, if not for a few bad execution plays and a couple penalties that really hurt them. So,
plus, if we really want to get a debate stirring, is this a football school or a basketball school? Because basketball season's starting, baby.
Yeah, Tuesday no shit. Night. Yeah, I know. You're going to be in the Bahamas. Well, I'm going to be at Spartan Stadium covering the Penn State Michigan State game. Yeah,
maybe not. We'll see. But Tuesday will
go be cover your go cover your meaningless early season basketball, and I'll cover your butt for the Penn State regular season finale where Michigan State can play for the Rose Bowl. But yeah, you go down there and have a good time down in the Bahamas. You enjoy some coconuts or pineapple juice or whatever you want to, you know, drink with little umbrella in it.
No, that's still up in the air, just so you know. But anyway, yes, no, they start Tuesday at the Champions against Kansas, so we'll get a taste of
it. It'll be fun to see some Michigan State basketball, Michigan basketball coming up. Yeah, season starts Tuesday. A lot of action on that front. We'll talk more about basketball after we see him play a little bit, but we're going to wrap it there. I know you've got a long couple of days, just check out Matt's recap coverage at DetroitNews.com. He's got his Big Ten power rankings. He's got Michigan ranked, by the way, ahead of Michigan State, which is interesting. Dude,
they've been a coin flip for the last 5 weeks.
That's fair. He's got Ohio State 1, Michigan 2, Michigan State 3, and Purdue 4. So check out those at DetroitNews.com, and you can check out all Angelique's coverage covering the U of M. And Neo and Wojo with this hilarious picks column every week. So it's so funny. He tells you how funny it is. So
hilarious in his own mind.
Yes. He's the best. So check it all out. DetroitNews.com. You follow Matt on Twitter at Matt Charbonneau. Follow me on Twitter at Tony Paul 1984. Matthew, that'll do it for a Sunday. We'll do this again next week.
Very good. See ya.